2 weeks' time, we're going to be doing a Sunday morning devoted to experiencing the power of God. Let me warn you about that. It's going to be incredible. And it's in line with a series that we're doing called Vision. Now, for those of you, anyone not here last week? Yes, if you were new and you weren't here and you were traveling or something, should I be kind and do a rewind? What do you think? Or should we just leave it? No, let's be kind and do a rewind. So we introduced a week or two ago our brand new vision statement, okay? We see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship in the Word, the presence of God, and the power of God. Okay, so we broke it down. First week we said it's us together. It's not just one of us. We're going to do this together. We what? We see. We see something new. We see something in the future. We see something that's not yet, and we see it into being. We see what? We see lives, individuals. We see communities. In other words, the place where I live, it's not just me transforming. It's not just my small corner. It's my world. If I'm a work guy in the week, I want to see my colleagues in work changed. If I'm at school, I want to see them changed. If I see, change starting to happen in my community, ultimately I'm going to see change happening in the society in which I live. We looked at some examples last week of what that looked like, because we said, what is this transformation all about? God is looking to transform the world. And we know transformation happens because Clark Kent transforms. And I used a whole lot of examples last week to say, you know what? Transformation happens. We saw how Moses transformed his world by leading people out of captivity into freedom. We saw how Nelson Mandela had helped to bring about change in our country. This is a different country because of what he and others did. We saw how Tim Tebow in American football at the moment is really bringing change. People are Googling John 3:16 more than anything else at the moment, certainly after the games are played. We said that this transformation happens as we renew our mind. It does matter what you think. A lot of people come to me and say, it doesn't matter that I say negative things. No, it does matter, because we become what we say. And so we said, well, how do we change society? How do we bring about transformation in society? And the answer was, just one life at a time. If I can impact one other life, that would change. And also, one sphere at a time. We said that there are spheres in society. Some people call them mountains. It's these areas, these strongholds, that as we change arts and entertainment, and that's why we need good young musicians and comedians and hip-hoppers in all these spheres of society, bringing about the kingdom of God. And we realize that we're not just going to wait for change to come. I'm not waiting on the world to change. It's a great song, but Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And we want to step out and bring change. And so that brings us to the next step in this mission. And the phrase that we want to focus on today is this idea of that we see the life change, the transformation coming, firstly, through discipleship in the Word. Now, this idea of through discipleship, we've been banging this drum in this place for over a year. I don't think I can say anything new about discipleship that we haven't said in this place in the last year. You don't believe me? Well, have a look at something of what we've been seeing about. And so this discipleship is going to be the thing that brings about the transformation of society. And for some of you, you might be saying, well, what the heck is discipleship? It's not a word I use in my language. Not a long time ago, P. Diddy set out to look for an assistant. It turned out it was a reality show. Ha ha ha. Now, let's pause there for a moment. If you could work for someone in the world, who would it be and why? Turn to someone next to you. Tell them who you would like to be an apprentice to. For me, it's Mtawalanga Nkonzo. He's a well-known comedian, but we'll talk about him later. So I think you're talking about your interests, aren't you? You're talking about the areas in life that you want to become better at. I know a few guys in the photography world that I would like to apprentice myself alongside, so that when I see a momentary sighting of a rare bird like I did yesterday morning in a nature reserve north of Johannesburg with Ash and my wife, I won't pull off six shots and they blurred. So I'll capture the moment, so the little fin foot will be on my camera rather than, well, I think that's what it is. And so I will find someone that I can apprentice myself to. The movie we didn't watch here, because maybe some of your parents would come and do an extraction, was The Sorcerer's Apprentice, if you've seen it, with Nicolas Cage. And here's just the trailer. I don't know how much you've worked with plasma lately, but it's really difficult substance to control. And to really throw it out of your hands, you need someone to teach you. I know I tried and I got really burned. Someone needs to be the sorcerer, someone needs to be the apprentice, because you can't start off at the top, I guess. We've all seen the Donald Trump show where everyone wants to be the apprentice. And I think he started all this. Let's give old Donald Trump his dues. But actually, let's take it further back and realize Jesus ran the apprentice AD 30 to 33. This was the first apprentice show. He invited a couple people and he said, I want you to come follow me and learn from me. You know? And he says, I'll teach you stuff that you don't know how to do yet. He spent time with them. Day and night, he used to walk around with them. He used to go from town to town. They were watching him. They were learning from him, helping them grow spiritually. And at some point, he said, your turn. I'm going off. I'm traveling upward and out of here. And you're going to do it in my absence. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So if I pull on the contemporary ideas, I'd probably say things like, Jesus wants you to work for him, to be his apprentice, to be his disciple. And so let's change it up to say, I want to work for Daddy, Father God. I want to be his apprentice. No, I want to be Jesus's apprentice. I want to be on this show with Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to copy him. He will take me places. I want to be the Savior's apprentice instead of some old sorcerer in a long black coat. Now, we banged on this drum during the Be One, Make One series. We said we want to both, firstly, be a disciple. If you want to email one of the guys in this youth, you email b.1.make.1@gmail.com. Do it this week and see who emails you back. And I'm not going to tell you. Okay, so you got it? b.1.make.1@gmail.com. The first person to come back to me this week with the knowledge of who that guy is will win a free copy of the Manga Bible. Are you with me? You got the email address? Write it down in your mind. b.1.make.1@gmail.com. And don't give me the answer if you know it already. b.1.make.1. So it's b1make1@gmail.com. Got it? First person to do that wins. So it's be a disciple. I want to know who has that email address, and it's not Jesus. Be a disciple and make a disciple. You remember the series. Now, I am a disciple if I encounter Jesus, if I connect with other believers, if I grow to spiritual maturity, if I, what's the next one? Reach my peers for Jesus, and if I influence the world. That's the B one. It's the first part of the gmail.com address. The other part is the make one. I make disciples by helping someone else, what? Encounter Jesus, connect with other believers, grow to maturity, reach their peers, and influence their world. It's me learning to do something and then not being so selfish that I don't pass it on to someone else. Here's a tougher question. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, who are you discipling? Who are you making a disciple of? And just see what they answer. Okay, go. Myself.
Tell me if that gets better.
So the whole way that this mission statement works is that it's through discipleship, but discipleship with what? It's discipleship in the Word. It's not discipleship with my good words, but it's discipleship with the Word. I thought that was a great picture when I stumbled across that. Have you seen on when people's cars, they write, "Wash me"? This Bible has reached out. Because it's got those like things in the Bible sometimes and papers. It made a hand and it wrote, "Read me." It's one of the first times a Bible's ever been able to write, "Read me" on itself. It's because of this. I wonder if your Bible is like the loneliest person on planet Earth. Or is your Bible like, "Chill, man, you're using me too much. You're like wearing me out here. You're messing up the corners." Or, you know, if your Bible could speak. Okay, we're crossing live now to Caitlin's Bible. So, Caitlin's Bible, so what's it like? And, you know, no, let's not do this. Let's not hear the answers to all our Bibles, because maybe some of our Bibles are like, "Yo, pick me, you know, read me." And if I just did, I would realize it's like luminous. It's like electric. It's like incredible. Did you watch the movie The Book of Eli? There was one copy of a book left on earth. This dude, Denzel, gave his life to preserve it. He went on a journey to take it to this secure facility, where they would print it and distribute it. A profound example of what the Bible is all about and its value. And so I want to take you into the Bible a bit today, and we've only got a few minutes, but I want to show you the Bible in a minute. Okay, you ready for this? In 1 minute, this dude's going to overview the Bible. Hit the lights, my good man.
1, 2, 3. Bible in a minute. Earth made Adam, Eve. Cain kills Abel, has to leave. Boring genealogy, great flood, olive leaf. Tower Babel, Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Ten Commands, Promised Land, Judges, David, Solomon, sent away to Babylon, Job, then a bunch of songs, Proverbs, and the Song of Songs, Major Prophets, Lion Den, Minor Prophets, Bethlehem, Golden, Myrrh, and Frankincense, Satan, and Samaritan, choose disciples of their cheek, walk on water, thousand feet, Lazarus, a fig tree, Last Supper, Gethsemane, blood, money, third to now, Pontius Pilate, public trial, 40 lashes to the tree, why have you forsaken me? Third day, empty tomb, reappears, five wounds, Acts of the Apostles, Jack's Epistles, and Apocalypse.
Oh! You see, it's not hard to get the Bible. You can do it in a minute. Now, you can't read it in a minute, but you can like say some highlights in a minute. I want to show you how these two like artists have traced the thread of the Bible, and it's probably only a minute as well. Here we go.
The Bible. It's God's Word, right? But what's it really all about? All the stories, all the verses. Here's a thought. Did you know that there's a thread that runs throughout Scripture? A storyline that begins in the beginning and ends at the end. Here, I'll show you. You know, in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the world, and He saw that it was good. The sun, the moon, the animals. Then He made man and woman. He made them to live with Him in the garden, but they sinned. And their sin created a separation between them and God. But God had a plan that was bigger than Adam and Eve. God had a plan to call a people for Himself, and through these people, to bless all people. The Israelites were God's chosen people. But sin wasn't done messing things up. God's people turned from him. But like I said before, God had a plan all along. This is where Jesus comes in. The little baby boy born in a manger. The man doing the miracles and preaching and teaching. This man, this Jesus, would give his life on the cross as a once and for all payment for our sins. And this payment would forever break down the wall of sin and guilt that separates us from God. Jesus' sacrifice made right the relationship between God and humans. Scripture says one day he'll return to finally redeem all of his children, ushering in an eternal reign from heaven's throne. And from that day on, all nations will join in an eternal song of worship to God. Oh, and you know that thread we talked about? The thread that ties all this together. That thread is love. God's unfailing love for all humankind.
So if you want to know more, it's joking. Just read it, right? Just read it. Here's the challenge. I want to challenge you to read the Bible. It's a brand new thing, and I know you've never heard this before, because the author lives in you. He wrote it, he understands it, he can help you understand it. So if you read something you don't know about, you just ask him, and you're not left without excuse. Okay, there is no excuse, because you can read paper versions. I know most of you don't know what paper is. It's like a papyrus type stuff that we used to use in Egypt when I was growing up. And then we kind of like threw it out. But you can get like a paper Bible, okay? You can get the U version. I am loving U version. I'm reading their daily reading plan. So I read my Bible on it, just 6 chapters a day. It reminds me if I don't do it. And you don't even have to pay to get it. You can put it on any phone except a 1920 Nokia 6310. And you could grab the comic version. You'd tell your parents, Mom and Dad, will you buy me a Bible? Your parents would say, of course. But then you tell them it's 260 Rand at Kumbooks. It's the Action Bible. And it's pretty dynamic. There's the story of the prodigal son in with his pigs and everything. And there's still text to read as well. And it's very accurate to the original. You can get any one of the manga versions. Comes either the whole manga Bible, which I'm going to give to anyone who figures out, b.1.make.1. there we go at gmail.com, b1make1 okay at gmail.com, manga version, manga messiah. Now there's no excuse, but you know, hang on, Mark, stop the bus a little bit. I tried with this Bible thing. I kind of got to the genealogies and that Leviticus stuff about, you know, taking a spade and going out the camp and digging a hole and taking a poo. I tried that at home, and my mum and dad were really cross with me because I was doing stuff I shouldn't have done. Okay, Mark, there's some really weird stuff. And then that girl, Deborah, she takes a tent peg, she hammers it through someone's skull, pins him to the ground. And like, what's with Deborah? She's just an angry person. Well, the word Deborah means a swarm of bees. So yeah, you mess with a Deborah, it's a serious thing. This is all in the Bible. And I get to these things, and I don't know how, so... Well, let me pause there and say, just read it. You know, I was sharing about this at Parktown Boys this week, and in fact, Greenside. Kind of this message and what the series we're doing there kind of came together. And I said, just read it. And I know it's tough sometimes, but even if you just read a chapter a day from the Gospel of John or Mark, Mark's always a good book. Mark's a cool guy. Really good book of the Bible to read. Mark's really great. I tend to read more than just try and read the whole thing in a week. I like to slow it down and ask questions, you know? Is there sin to avoid? Is there a promise that I can claim in what I'm reading? Is there an example that I can follow? Is there a command? Am I commanded to do something? Is there a blessing that I can enjoy? So I will just take one passage. The shorter, the better. Don't start with Psalm 119. It's a couple of verses too long. Blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. What's the sin to avoid? There's already a sin to avoid there. In that first line, what is it? Don't take the advice of the wicked guys. If you're at Parktown Boys, don't listen to Greenside Boys, okay? Don't take the advice. And you could go through and probably find about 4 or 5 sins to avoid. Is there a promise to claim? His delight is in the teachings of the Lord, and he reflects on his teachings. He's like a tree planted by streams, a tree that produces fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither. You read the Bible, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to have leaves growing out of your ear. It's awesome. There's a promise to claim. Is there an example? Well, this guy meditates on God's word. I'm going to want to do that. Do you get the idea? But I'm reading, looking for stuff. I'm not just reading while I'm texting my mate and watching Isidingo and painting my nails. Girls can do those four things and can do them very well, mind you, but it's a lot better if you shut the acetone, otherwise you have this weird experience. Meantime, it's just the smell of that nail cleaner. It's not really a spiritual experience, ladies. It's the nail cleaner. But if I pause and focus, I can actually do this. The other thing that we taught you in one of our series with the Grow book is to use soap. Soap's good if you're going to be dating. Or if you've got a new friend and you want to impress them, soap's good. But soap here stands for do a bit of scripture. In other words, read a passage. O, write down some observations. What am I observing here? What's God saying? And then what about application? How does it relate to me? What is it actually meaning for my life? What do I need to do with this? And the P stands for prayer. Ask God to help you grow in that area. So if you've read something that is really difficult and challenging, you don't say, I can't do that. You stop and you pray and say, God, can you help me? Okay? So that's using soap. Soap stands for scripture, observations, application, and peanuts. Okay, you got it. No, not peanuts. Prayer. Some of you thought it was peanuts. You were getting happy for a moment there. You can eat peanuts while you do the soap. You can't eat peanuts when you brush your teeth. You need to eat peanuts, floss, brush your teeth. But when you use the soap spiritually, you can eat peanuts. That's wise. You heard that at Ignite Youth for the first time, people. You learn hygiene here. It's phenomenal. Okay? And then a new one that I saw someone talk about this week, a little video on YouTube, about four columns. And this is what the dude says. On the left-hand side of my page, I write out the passage of scripture. Choose a short passage. You will still be writing this next Sunday if you choose 150. Okay? Psalm 150. No, Psalm 119. 150 verses. And write it out. Second column, write it in your own words. Okay, because most of you speak a totally different language. You speak teen, which wasn't invented when the Bible was around. Okay, write it in your words. Write it in teen. That's cool. Okay, and then make some statements, some I will statements, some declarations. As because I've read this, I will do X, Y, Z. And then you might want to say, hey, there's this whole topic about love, about respecting parents, about looking good, about dressing in a certain way, or whatever the topic is, about holiness, or about prosperity, or about success, or bringing heaven to earth, and you might want to make some topic notes in there. Now, next week we're going to be looking at the presence of God, but there is no way that you're going to remember what I've shared with you this morning. So, here's my challenge. When I encouraged you last week to become a liker of our page, many of you did it, and Sunday afternoon had a flurry of activity. But some of you still aren't on our page, and dude, Shan, you're there, looking fly, okay? So if you want to visit the page this week, you'll see the photos from Friday night, and you can show and tell. There's even a photo of the devil caught on camera on Friday night in the doorway. Very freaky. But here's what I do on Sunday. Anything we teach about gets uploaded and put on that. And so you can download the material. There's weeks when we show videos, and we post that there. And it's not just pretty pictures, but it's resource as well. So I challenge you. Looking fly, Josh. Woohoo! That's how you're supposed to come on like a Sunday. That one we got to like show and tell. Because, wow, that's looking fly, right? That's how you're supposed to dress for Sunday. And so I challenge you to get online. If you want to remember what were those four ways? I'm going to read the Bible. Just read it. I'm going to read it actively. I'm going to ask questions like, is there a command to obey, sin to forsake? And if you haven't written that all down, like Hannah has, kudos to Hannah. I think if no one wins the be1makeone@gmail.com with dots in between, then you need to know that she's going to win the Manga Bible. Okay, so you're up for the challenge this week to both be one and make one, and to know that you make disciples using what? What do you use? What's your major tool? You use your own brilliant intelligence, your wisdom, and you use stuff that you read in the Sunday Times. No. It's the Bible, silly. Okay? It's your thing. And so if you get into it, if you live in it, then it will live in and out through you. Got it? Hope so. Next week, the presence of God. I think if you're like me, you would have to maybe say, like, you know, sometimes I don't do the Bible thing as much as I should. They once said, if you want to hide something from an African, you put it in a book. Can we be the generation that 100% disproves that? Are you going to read the Bible? That Bible is going to be lonely. Be readers. I want to tell you, you will excel if you are a reader like nothing else. I don't mind if you read a comic book or if you read it on your Bible. You don't have to be old school and get paper cuts, but read. Read, damn it. Read. You with me? Read for all it's worth, and you will be the best in your field. Watch out, South Africa. Watch out, Africa. Watch out, the world, because we are taking our place. It's great to see our guys who are enrolled in university this year, like Vincent and Keegan at CTI and others who have been through our journey, and Gloria and others, are making it happen at WITS and other places. Follow in their footsteps. Read. Ne? You can. Let's pray. Father, some of us have to admit that we haven't done as much as we could. And we do that now, Lord. And what I love about you, we heard this morning someone singing a phrase that shame can't keep me away from your presence. That guilt can't keep me away from your presence. Imagine if the prodigal son was still worried about the father and what the father thought of him. No, he just got up and said, I'm going home. And Lord, this morning, as we say, Lord, sometimes the Bible's a bit dusty, or sometimes that application on my phone is not used as much as others. But God, I'm going to change that. And I'm going to prove those Westerners wrong, that as Africans, we know the word, we read, and Lord, we excel. And so, God, we pray that there would be a whole generation rising up that would disprove, that will attack the mockers. In the awesome name of Jesus. So forgive us, Lord, if we have forgotten about your word in the week. This weekly injection, Lord, is just not enough. And so, Lord, we return to your word, to discipleship through the word. And we pray, Lord God, that you would see us as we come to your word, and that you would reach out with wisdom in our minds and hearts, that your spirit within us would reveal your word to us. And God, let this be the week that there's a major turnaround in our lives, where your word becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. May we put the devil down, Lord God, because we know your word and how Jesus was able to send him packing because he could quote the word. Lord, let us be able to know and to live your word like no one else can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.